good evening, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Mike Malloy here on the radio, on your computer, in your iPhone, in your iPod, up your nose, in your hip pocket, down your, you know, whatever. Welcome to tonight's program. I was reading something on Financial Times online just a second ago, and it was talking about how investors are returning in droves to the hedge funds. But I thought that phase was all over. Now, this is on top of the news in the past couple of days about Goldman Sachs and who's the other one? Doesn't matter. These big banking investment firms who are just showing astonishing profits. According to Financial Times, the number of investors clawing to get into hedge funds is greater than it's been in the past 10 years. I think I read that right. We're getting hosed, aren't we? We really, really are getting hosed. The billionaires continue to make billions. Obama's plan to tax the uber wealthy with surcharges to pay for health care is going nowhere. And what is so funny is that working class, there is that phrase is still operable, even though the people who used to be in that class are disappearing rapidly. But the working class and the middle class, another phrase that's disappearing, are among those who are starting to have their doubts about Obama's health insurance plan, even though it's not going to raise their taxes a bit. See, here we go again. It's astonishing to me. Whether you like the plan or not at this point is kind of immaterial. What is Obama trying to do? He chickened out on single payer, so he's got to come up with the next best thing, which is what he's proposing. And everybody is panicking, not because of any reason other than the fact that they are being brainwashed. It is so easy to do that in this country to right-wingers. You can make them do anything. You could make them eat their own children, gnaw their own feet off. It's astonishing to watch this. Hopefully, Obama at some point will realize that he's dealing with a collection of brain-dead idiots who are being motivated by powerful forces, the medical-industrial complex, to react this way, and it's pigs in media, like Limbaugh and the rest of them. And Obama will realize what has happened, and he will bail out. He'll say, okay, I quit. And then he'll restructure and come back with single-payer health care. That's all. I mean, what he's trying to do, I think it's apparent that the Republicans and the trolls in the society, and there are millions of them, are simply not going to let it happen. And again, what he's trying to do is make sure that everybody has health care or health coverage. Medical coverage, let me rephrase everything there. It's not health care, it's not health coverage, it's sick coverage. It's not health care, it's sick care. It's medical insurance. Come on, Mike, get the term right. Medical insurance! But, of course, he's going about it the wrong way. Now, the trolls that are saying no to this have no idea. They're just doing what they're being told to do by the Republicans, by the right-wingers, by the pig man, by the pharmaceutical industrial, medical industrial complex. Oh no, you'll have a government functionary between you and your doctor. This is socialism. This is national socialism. You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like they had in Germany in the 30s. Well, we, you know, in a society like ours, we usually get the kind of circumstances that we deserve. We really do. We really do. So, it's astonishing. I can't get over it. If I were to drop my insistence, my personal insistence that we have a single payer, if I were to drop that and just take a look at what Obama's trying to do and the reaction of the American public, I would think that I had hopped a fast train to Crazyville. And that's where I am now. I'm surrounded by crazy people. Absolute madmen and women. I was watching something on Oberman's program a second ago. David Schuster is sitting in, and this little bit of video was also on Hardball. Some town hall meeting about public health care or about, insurance reform, health insurance reform. And some crazy bitch stands up in the middle of the audience with a sheet of paper. I say bitch, I'm sorry. If it was male, I would say bastard. I hate these people. She stands up. She's got a sheet of paper in her hand. It's her birth certificate. She's also holding up one of those little tacky ass American flags that you see all over on the 4th of July. And she's screaming at a health, a town hall meeting about Obama's new health insurance plan. She's screaming that he's not a citizen. And she's just out of her goddamn mind. I mean, just totally bonkers. Chris Matthews had this, was a guy from California, this Republican member of Congress, who's doing the same thing. And the pig man was on the air saying, well, you know, all you have to do is show a birth certificate. Why isn't he showing a birth? You know what this gets down to? You know what this is. This is race. That's all this is race. And yeah, we'll get to the Henry Louis Gates thing a little bit later tonight. It's just race. These white people have gone absolutely berserk. Absolutely berserk. First, they, in their minds, are forced to accept an African-American president. Then they're forced to accept a dark-skinned woman on the Supreme Court. They're forced to accept a cabinet that has black people in it. And they're going crazy. They're just crazy. These Republicans, they just destroy the Obama administration. And they figure this is a soft underbelly. We don't want health insurance. God damn it. We like being sick. We like being broke. We like going bankrupt because of health expenses, medical expenses. We like that. And besides, why should we tax the rich? Someday I'll be rich. I will, as soon as I get my factory job back. I've got this idea. I'm going to invent something. Or, no, I know. I'm going to write a screenplay. No. I'm going to write a book. No. I'm going to invent a cure for something. Someday I'll be rich. So I don't want taxes on the rich because I'll be rich.
No, you won't. Not ever. Not in this lifetime. Not in your life after death time. Never.
But you can't get through to these people. These people being these right-wing crazy, crazy, crazy psychopaths. You can't get through to them.
He's not a citizen. Why is it? Why didn't he just show a birth certificate?
Oh, you dumbasses. The birth certificate. We have to go back to 1961. And everybody that's been involved, the hospital in Hawaii, where he was born, the newspaper in Hawaii that published his birth announcement, the universities that he went to, the elementary schools he went to, whenever he registered to vote, all of it was all fake. He's really a citizen of some African country. No, worse. Indonesia. Worse. He's a Muslim. Worse. He's the Antichrist. Worse! He's the devil. Jesus Christ, why don't you people find some rat hole and go live in it and just leave us? We're still hanging on to shreds of normalcy by our fingernails alone! Yeah, and they never landed on the moon in 1969 either, did they? Oh, Christ. We'll be back with a report from our economic affairs correspondent right after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
And we're
You're invited to the Chevy open house. We've made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. The price on the tag is the price you pay. Go to Chevy.com/open house for details. Excludes the Corvette ZR1 at participating dealers only. Twenty-one past the hour. So, more scary stuff from our economics correspondent, Prairie 2, who writes, Fed Chairman Bernanke appeared before Congress today and again pushed back the predicted date of any so-called positive job growth, which is banker speak for, we will continue to hemorrhage jobs and spiral down toward the abyss. Not unreasonable with nothing being done about the causes of job loss. So as more jobs leave the country, we're left with fewer and fewer people that live in the middle class, live a middle class lifestyle and provide business for all the people pushed into service jobs because their jobs have left the country. More 20-somethings are living with their parents and 30-somethings are returning to do the same when their homes are gone. But as the parents lose their homes and health insurance bankruptcies, the places of refuge are disappearing. And soon you will see multiple generations homeless. State job counselors are telling men who make up 80% of the newly jobless to forget about ever getting a job like they had and go after a woman's job. The catchphrase is, this is not an economic downturn, but a fundamental restructuring. The obvious question is, what do the women do who find themselves competing with men for fewer and fewer jobs as their jobless rate starts to climb? If they have kids, maybe, and I stress maybe, they can get welfare for a time, but thanks to Clinton, welfare has strict lifetime limits and a benefit rate that guarantees slow starvation. Where do the homeless go when all options run out? In the sci-fi movies, the food wafer plants are used as a metaphor for the death trap slum, the fascist work camp, unchecked disease outbreaks, and on and on. Or we could see a new Dark Ages where control is maintained through fanatic religion, where the Sabbath is observed with executions of the so-called sinner and crusades are launched to further world domination, with the willfully ignorant population fixated on the circus and unaware how close they are to running out of bread. Democracy is becoming a wistful dream. An update on the banking collapse. Four more banks were seized by the FDIC over the weekend. And the 18th largest bank, CIT, that specializes in financing small and medium businesses, is again likely to file bankruptcy. They had announced a deal with bondholders yesterday, but as of today, the deal appears to have fallen through. A few billion would reportedly turn things around for CIT and the thousands of businesses that will fail with them. The Inspector General for the TARP program now estimates the risk the government has assumed to bail out the really large banks like Goldman Sachs to be $23.7 trillion. So how exactly do the Republicans plan on paying for the bread and circuses? Prairie 2. You can go to his website, prairie2.com. Are you getting scared? You know what? This bit about this is not an economic downturn, but a fundamental restructuring. Yeah, how long ago was it where you could apply for a manufacturing job? Wasn't that long ago? Even in the Midwest, the so-called Rust Belt, certainly the here in the South, where all the jobs migrated, a lot of them migrated because there were no unions here, and corporate America, being corporate America, wants to screw the worker as quickly and as deeply as possible. And when they're done screwing the American worker, then they'll move to Mexican, and when they're done screwing the Mexican worker, it's on to China. But how long ago was it where these jobs were available? A job that paid a living wage? A job that provided health insurance as part of your employment package. Remember paid vacations? How about holidays? Time and a half for overtime? Overtime is when instead of working 40 hours, you worked 45 or 50 because the plant was humming along. Is that 1,000 years ago? Is that 1,000,000 years ago? When was that? Okay, so is that really gone? I mean, during the campaign, wasn't it McCain who went to Michigan and said, I'm paraphrasing, I have bad news for all you workers here in Michigan. Your jobs aren't coming back. Okay, what are we supposed to do? I know, make windmills. Make solar panels. Yeah, but who's going to buy them? Anybody got any ideas? I'll tell you what we're going to do during this break. We're going to open up the phones here, and which we normally don't do this early. We like to get a couple of things cooking before we open up the phones, but we're going to go ahead and open them up. I'll try to focus on this. Prairie 2's email has kind of got me a tad freaked out. So give us a call. Do you think this is just going to continue? I mean, what's the alternative? Stay focused on this topic right now, okay? We're going to try this. 877-996-2556. This topic about this economic meltdown. All right? Stay with us.
And I'm stuck in shirts in a Walmart store, just like the ones we made before, except this one came from Singapore. I guess we can't make it here anymore. Should I hate a people for the shade of their skin, or the shape of their eyes, or the shape I'm in? Should I hate them for having our jobs today? No, I hate the men sent the jobs away.
Border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It's about 25 before the hour. Let's do some phone calls. Jeremy is calling from Monroe, Michigan. Jeremy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, I think you have a great show. I don't always agree with you, but I guess my question is, and I didn't call to argue or anything like that, but I just noticed that you know, over the last few minutes or so, in your last segment, there's a lot of grouping. You know, women are competing for jobs, or, you know, black, white, and I just don't understand. I guess your screener made a good point, because I called myself a conservative, so I guess I grouped myself. But I don't understand the need. Why can't you look at people as individuals?
Well, hold on a second. I said I was quoting from a Financial Times article. I also said I was quoting from an email sent to me by our economics correspondent. What are you talking about? Men as a group are being told. Men as a group are being told. The unemployed men. There's two groups. Unemployed men combined to one. They're being told, forget about your old job. Women are now going to have to compete with men for the same jobs. Conservatives, liberals. I don't understand your question, Jeremy. What are you talking about? Why do I lump people into groups? I don't lump people into groups. We just
rich,
naturally,
middle class,
we just. Oh, Jesus, you're talking like a man with a I don't know what's your point. You don't.
Well, you know,
are you telling me that saying there's a middle class, it doesn't exist? There's a rich, there's a Catholics don't exist,
yeah.
Buddhists don't exist.
What is it?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Goodbye. Get him out of here. Why do people like that call me? I'm serious. Why do they call me?
We are just one people. Kumbaya,
why do I lump people into groups? What the hell is that? Yeah, there is a group called bankers. No, that group doesn't exist. There's a group called car dealers. No, that the group doesn't exist. There's a group called jackasses. Yes, those are Republicans or conservatives. Listen, if you get a wild hair up your nose and you really, really want to call me and harass me with garbage like that, do me a favor. Don't. Because, you know, I get fooled for a couple of minutes. Like, is this person rational? right, let's listen to a few comments. Why do you always lump people into groups? Oh, Christ. All right, let's give him one more chance. Well, you know, I'm a conservative. Aren't you lumping yourself? No, never mind. One more chance. I just wonder why. Okay, goodbye. Look, do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. When you get that urge to call this program with a half-assed statement like that, don't. Go do something constructive, like, I don't know, burn your house down, something. But don't call here. Thank you. Hassan is calling from Atlanta. Hassan?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm actually visiting Georgia.
From where?
From Canada. I'm from Canada originally.
Originally? No, I don't think so, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I was born there anyway.
You were born there?
Yes, actually. Yes, I was born there.
Oh, okay. Well, my bad. See, I lumped you into a group. I assumed with a name like Hassan and an accent, you may have come from...
A Middle Eastern country.
Yeah, Middle Eastern country. But, or not necessarily Middle Eastern. I wouldn't call it Iran or Indonesia Middle Eastern, but you know what I mean. Yeah, what's up, Hassan?
Originally, I'm from Somalia, East Africa.
Okay, there you go. Go ahead. What's up, Hassan?
But my question is, why must everything be into sectors? I mean, can't we just, look at it in a more direct way? Like, I mean... You're attacking the previous caller for saying liberals and conservatives and females.
I was attacking him.
Sorry.
I was attacking him.
Well, you never let the guy speak.
What the hell are you talking about? What do you mean you let him speak? How do you let somebody speak who says, "Why are you letting people into groups?" Listen, Hassan. Goodbye. All right. Goodbye. Now, let me say, do I need to go back and start this program over again tonight? All right, we got the two right-wing nutcases on the show, on the phone, off the phone, off the show. Now, can we just go to the issue? See, this is why I never do this kind of talk radio, because the jerkasses get through. They really do. We try not to screen people out because they don't make sense. Which we probably should do. I asked a very simple question after quoting something from Financial Times and reading Prairie 2's email, our economics correspondent. I then said, wow, things are looking really dodgy. So I'll tell you what let's do. Let's open up the phones early tonight, which I never do, I said, and get your take on this, because this affects all of us. We're the first two callers out of the box. Jerks who want to argue about group. Why do you group people? Jesus God, stop it. All right. Call someone else. Do something. I don't know. But turn this program off. Go away. I don't know. If you insist on having this program on, please restrain yourself. Please don't call. Honest to God. All right, John is calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, John.
I'm a 2.5 million mile trucker.
Holy Toledo.
I went through thousands of towns in this country. And, Mike, I go through town. The downtown businesses are closed. The factory on the outskirts of town's closed. Time after time, town after town. And I keep asking myself the same question over and over again, Mike. Where in the hell does everybody work at?
Yeah.
It is absolutely unbelievable what we have done to our people. 35 million factory jobs have left the United States since Reagan took over and run this country into the ground. That's what's happened to America.
Yeah.
Families destroyed, school systems destroyed, tax bases destroyed. I'm over here by Wilmington, Ohio. They closed DHL. One third of the jobs are gone.
Yeah.
Families are destroyed. And they actually give tax breaks to manufacturers to move our factory. See, I drive a truck, sir, because that's what I always wanted to do since I was a boy.
Uh-huh.
It's not for everybody. It's a lonely life, but I'm a single man. And when I was married, when my wife was alive, she rode with me.
Uh-huh.
And that's a whole different life.
Yeah.
People say, well, look at the money you make. Well, you know, I live on the road. Now, somebody out there that wants to, that has children and has a home, they want to be home, they want to make a decent, I think people, you know, I tell the right-wingers, not everybody wants to be rich. Some of the most miserable people I've run into, Mike, in my life have been wealthy people.
Yeah.
People want to make a decent living, chase women on Friday night, and go fishing on Saturday. That's all they want out of life.
Yeah.
Is that asking too much?
You wouldn't think, would you?
I don't know. This isn't the country I grew up in, Mike.
No, it's not.
I've never seen people this scared in my life. You had a caller from Michigan, a right winger. I tell him, get in his car, go over to Saginaw or Flint, and see some real desperate people.
Yeah.
I was up there when Denny's offered that free breakfast that morning. They had people lined up at 4 o'clock in the morning out there. At least 150 people.
Good Lord.
And I'm thinking, this is America, 2009. It's awful. I've never seen people this scared, ever.
What do you think? I mean, what do you, I don't know. I don't really mean, what do you think's going to happen, John? But what do you think's going to happen, John?
I think things are getting a lot worse.
That's what, you know, I keep reading the people who make predictions, and that's all you can do is make predictions or guesstimates.
Well, look, I grew up in a different time. When I entered the workforce in 1979, interest rates were, what, 20%, Mike? Unemployment was like 12%, so people were scared.
Yeah.
I was just newly married. Me and my wife both had a job, okay? And I wanted to get my first charge cart at Sears and Roebuck for $500, and we were turned down. Both of us were employed.
Mm-hmm.
When we bought our first house in 1981, the bank sent somebody to my employment and interviewed my boss and wanted to see my W-2 forms for that year before they issued a loan.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're giving it to loan to people who can breathe and walk and chew gum.
Not anymore.
And they wonder why they have a problem they have now?
Yeah.
And I talked to my right-wing friends. I said, look, Reagan said, let the economy go on its own. Get the free market going. Get rid of regulations.
Uh-huh.
Get rid of unions. Well, it sure the hell went.
Yeah.
Right off the cliff.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, look, there's some things, you know, I live in a pretty conservative area here in Columbus area.
Mm-hmm.
They're good people. They might be right-wingers. We have our arguments, but they're good, hard-working people. And I tell them, I tell you something. Those people are not serving your interests.
Mm-hmm.
If they let all your neighbors' jobs go overseas, let them break unions, because that's what happened when Reagan fired those air traffic controllers.
Yeah.
They say, well, it was legal. No, no, no. That was just a green light to American business. If you want to screw your employees and break your unions, go right ahead. The government's going to stay out of your way.
That's the truth. That's the truth. John, I hear you loud and clear, and so do people listening to this program tonight. I got a break here. Thanks, pal. Thanks for taking the time to call in. I appreciate it.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Back to your calls. Michael is in Los Angeles listening on KTOK. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay.
I believe that we can have living wages. We have a choice. Budgetary policies that hold living wages and government services
mm-hmm.
that are relevant to the societies in which we live and relevant to the economic conditions that exist. That should be the criteria for wages. But what we have is we have the entire political beast saying that wages and government services are relevant only to the overreaching business interests and concentrations of capital.
Right.
And that's the way they put it out there. And they use these little numerical rationalizations, you know, where they exclude a lot of numbers and a lot of spending. A good example is Clinton's welfare reform.
Mm-hmm.
We balanced the budgets. We exercised restraints on the backs of the poor. And in return, we've got exploded deficits for the uber rich under Bush.
Right.
We're seeing that again now. We have Obama stepping in for bailouts for the banks. But the same banks and investment interests have come in here to California and said that we have to cut programs for the poor to make good on our loans from those very same banks that just received bailouts from taxpayers, particularly from California. So even if you cut all these things to balance the budgets today, that's only an incentive for them to explode it all for the rich and in the meantime make the poor pay. And it's you can't just assimilate the society into poverty. It ain't going to work. They have to go somewhere. They have to do something, and there are a lot of them.
That's true. This is kind of what the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, did to so many so-called third world countries or emerging democracies or whatever, get them deeply in debt, and then offer a bailout. But in order to get the money from the IMF, you had to cut all your social programs. You had to privatize all the industries that were being poorly run by the state. And as a result, the countries just about would almost go belly up until finally, especially in Central and South America, they started saying, to hell with this. We're not going to do this anymore. Well, so you're right. What do you think is going to happen? People are not going to just declare themselves homeless and their children without education and okay, it's time for us to all lay down and die now. You know what's going to happen, don't you?
Well, I think that the Democrats, you know, that their song is, you know, we're the rough guys, we're the tough guys, we're the stand up and sit on our deaf guys. Going to become irrelevant themselves because they're on the edge of a cliff right now, just waiting to come off because there's nothing that the Republicans do that they won't put up with. But as soon as people get real about the realization that the Democrats are just, you know, the other act of the same story, they're going to, you know, take their own measures because, you know, back to the numbers, you know, enough statistics you can prove anything, and that's what they're trying to do. But, you know, people are not numbers, and I think that people are going to, you know, figure it out that, you know, this is going to, we're going to have to do this ourselves. Because it's just been so too many layers of repression, whether it be through the media, mm-hmm. propaganda, a pitch line from your congressman, betrayal, you name it.
Right, right. I hear you. All right, Michael, stay in touch, okay?
Absolutely. I listen religiously.
Okay, so to speak. All right, thanks, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. From the bear, Mike, it seems pretty goddamn clear what was going on the first time the politicians looted America. Hell, even the second time around. Think the third time it'll be clear to everyone? Now, some $23 trillion later, the nation is still gasping for air, dying from lack of health care, millions forced out of work, people starving, and all deliberately designed to bring this nation to its knees. If it isn't painfully clear by now, old boy, it's all about control. Hell, they have all the money. Yeah, bear from the bears. He quotes Camus at the end. Quote, the only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. Got from one from Lou here, too. See if I can squeeze this in. Mike, your show continues to be a real eye-opener. I was just listening to your economic report, and yes, it is scary. Mike, I remember when Clinton finished his term, we had a surplus, unemployment was low, people were generally content going about pursuing their vision of the American dream. Our sons and daughters weren't dying in some foreign country, and we weren't despised around the world. As I saw things around me, things were good. I work in the L.A. Long Beach Port Complex, and there was a steady economic progress. Enter Bush and the attitude of greed, arrogance, contempt for the law and the middle class, and darkness that accompanied this crime syndicate to bankrupt America and send us back into a feudal state of the rich and the serfs. I don't care how the low-life Republicans God, how I hate them, can justify or explain or excuse these past horrendous and injurious 8 years. But all blame lies in the Bush cabal and this gang of criminals, the banks, the military-industrial complex, the oil industry, etc., with that rogue criminal Cheney being his segundo. I wish this was all just a terrible bad movie, but Mike, it is for real. Like an onion, the full damage of this criminal, disgraceful administration will be peeled back layer by layer over time. Our only hope, and or wish, then, would be arrest warrants, prosecutions, and sentencing. God bless what's left in America, Lou. Well, hey, you know, we don't deliberately try to come on the program and be negative at all. But, good Lord, I mean, look at what's going on every single day. The numbers keep coming in and coming in and coming in. And, I don't see anything on the horizon. Do you? That's kind of what we're talking about here. I mean, let's continue the discussion after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Dave Crane.
Welcome back. It is about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. The issue I brought up last hour is simply with all this bad news, and there seems to be, although the NASDAQ went up again today. It's approaching what is above 1900, isn't it? The stock market is up. It's approaching 9000. Who's doing that? I mean, this is a part that I don't understand. That's why we have an economic affairs correspondent. I wish Prairie 2 would send an email and explain to me why we've had stock market gains 7 days, in, 6 days, 5 days in a row now. And I don't know. A good example of how things are falling apart is the situation here in Georgia at Lockheed. Lockheed Marietta is what it's called here, aircraft company. One of our senators, Saxby Chambliss. Everybody in elective office here in Georgia are Republicans on the state and federal level, pretty much. And boy, aren't they doing a good job? Anyway, Saxby Chambliss, who's a senator, Republican from Georgia, is got his bloomers in a wad and continues, even though the Senate has voted no, for the construction of more of these F-22 fighter planes that would cost the vaunted taxpayer another almost $2 billion. The odd part is that Ed Kennedy and John Kerry both support Chambliss in this. Chambliss did not want this program killed for these F-22s, even though the Pentagon doesn't want them. Robert Gates was at the Economic Club of Chicago the other day to say, you know, please, we don't want these planes. But so the vote was had today, wasn't it? It was 58-40, I think. Was that the vote to say no? They're going to kill the program. Now that definitely means that there would be lost jobs here in Georgia, in North Georgia, especially in the Atlanta metro area. it seems like we make anymore that has any value to somebody are our weapons. I'm exaggerating, but that's what it seems like. John Carroll, who writes for the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, said today regarding this issue, of course, the company, Lockheed Martin in Marietta, it's Lockheed Martin, it used to be called Lockheed Marietta, Lockheed Martin could retool and make things the Pentagon really wants. But that's a lot of trouble, John writes, and people might indeed lose their jobs. I'm sorry about that, but the real culprits in the current depression are not the changing specs from the government. The real culprits are A, banks and lending institutions that have put the whole country on a big credit card it can't pay, and B, badly run corporations that put their money into paying lobbyists rather than figuring out how the world is changing. So, John Carroll continues, we give the banks more money because they're too big to fail, and the senators want the government to subsidize the aircraft industries by asking them to build planes no one wants, which is exactly like a bailout, except we're not calling it that. As Carroll writes a little bit further in his column today, so what if the Pentagon doesn't want the plane? The defense contractors do, and they're the ones who contribute the bucks to the politicians. Yeah, Lockheed Martin is a big military aircraft, and some other, it's not all military, although I think it's mostly military. But when this discussion came up several months ago, Saxby Chambliss, I thought he was going to have a coronary, insisting that the F-22 continue to be built, and nobody wants it. The Pentagon doesn't want it. Now, if the Pentagon doesn't want it, so what? I mean, you know, what does that mean? Apparently, Gates, when they say the Pentagon is a building. So the Secretary of Defense, Gates, doesn't want it. And the reason he doesn't want it is because, one assumes, since he's Secretary of Defense, he knows what weapon systems would be most usable as a last-ditch effort by this dying American empire to continue to harass people around the globe. You know, we refuse to recognize that the 20th century was the American century. This is not ours anymore. We are collapsing. And one of the reasons we're collapsing is because of this horrendous so-called American empire. Why doesn't somebody have the nerve to tell the leadership of this country, whether it's the president, the State Department, the defense establishment, whoever it is, look, it's over. You had your run. Millions of you made billions. The rest of us have been plodding along, doing our work. Yeah, some of us managed to buy a house. Some of us managed to buy two cars. Some of us managed to get our kids through college. But it's over, this American empire thing. So why don't we strategically fall back? Come home. Come back to the United States. End this military craziness. End it. End it. How much, what did I read the other day? I mentioned it, I think Monday night's program, 60% of discretionary spending goes to the weapons industry. Is that right? Could that figure be right? 60%? For what? I don't understand why the wise old men and old women who run this country don't make a decision. Or why we don't, by rising up and throwing the sons of bitches out, if they can't govern us, what are we going to do? Are we just going to sit back and I don't know what, start eating each other, boil our shoes? Oh, hell, they're not made out of leather anymore, so that's not going to work. What are we going to do? There seems to be several answers that nobody in a leadership position is paying any attention to. And the military-industrial complex. Yeah, Eisenhower's warning. Okay, it came to pass. But we can go post-military-industrial complex. We can. We really, really can. $700 to $800 billion with the off the books money that goes to the defense establishment, the weapons industry, the military, it's approaching $1 trillion. Now, there's no point doing that breakdown thing. $1 trillion would buy 10,964 schools. $1 trillion would buy, there's no point in doing that. But there is a point in asking the question, why do we keep doing this? Who is a threat to the United States? Who? A military threat. There is no one. There hasn't been since the Soviet Union broke up. And even then it wasn't. Jesus God. Why not start there? End this militaristic attitude. Bring all the troops home. Walk away from all the military installations we have around the world. Just say to the host country, it's yours! Take the goddamn thing! We don't want it! And come home! And take all that money and get to work rebuilding the infrastructure, which will immediately put 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 million people back to work! Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the infrastructure jobs? Remember all that? The roads, the bridges, the dams, the schools, the parks, the waterways, the sewer systems, the electric grid, all that stuff. There's millions of jobs here at home. There's $1 trillion, thousands and thousands of millions of dollars available to pay for that work. But we're pissing it away with this military madness. Why? Anybody got any answers? Why must we stay where we don't belong? Because I'm never gonna be enough faith. So weak and meek, save for the taste. It's always gonna be a delicacy. So lick your chops and eat the meat. Introducing the all-new Chevy Equinox with an EPA estimated 32 miles per gallon on the highway and up to 600 highway miles on a tank. It's the most fuel-efficient crossover on the highway. Go to Chevy.com/Equinox. Based on GM compact crossover segment, excludes other GM vehicles. It's 21 past the hour. All right, Prairie 2 answered, sent me an email here about the question I had about how's come the stock market is on a 5-day rally, and hedge funds are attracting lots of money again. And Bruce writes, thanks to the printing presses running full speed, there's an awful lot of money around. There are players that are able to drive the market by making strategic trades. They're taking advantage of the happy talk from the experts, many of whom would be chased by mobs if the truth were known. Hedge funds are becoming active because they are positioning themselves to hedge against the October collapse. October canned goods futures are up 20 points. Prairie 2 and his damn canned goods. Okay. All right. This is, who's this from? This is from Unsigned. I saw this coming back in 94. Luckily, I was in the process of qualifying for Social Security disability, so I have a paltry income for as long as it lasts. Since then, I've lived off the grid, below the radar, in a well-maintained pickup. I learned how to live with very little, learned how to barter my blue-collar and professional skills, change my eating habits, a complete paradigm shift. I had to learn to quit fighting and go with the flow. I'm debt-free, have a credit card and a credit union money market. It's been a long, lonesome road, but there are lots of interesting folks along the way. Like John, the over-the-road trucker, who called in tonight, I put on thousands of miles every few months. Towns and cities are dead in the center. It's not going to hold much longer, Mike. Staying under the radar. Unsigned. We'll come back to your calls here in just a second. I just want to get some of these emails in. This is from Tony. Mike, you want our predictions for what is to come? Two words, Great Depression. Everything is in place for this imminent certainty. We have double-digit unemployment across much of the nation, a severe real estate downturn that has yet to reach a bottom, a significant, not yet talked about, severe commercial real estate crisis, the largest and continuously growing national debt in history, a continually devaluing dollar, two expensive wars, healthcare costs are unmanageable, a Treasury Secretary that has no idea what he's doing, and so on and so on. The only thing that can get us out of this almost certainty is one thing, single-payer health care. It makes sense that a family currently paying over $1,000 a month in health insurance premiums would choose a public option and therefore put that $1,000 back into the economy that is no longer spending on health care costs. Whether it is finally being able to make your mortgage payments and save your house from foreclosure, or buying a car, or getting that new television, or a DVD player, or investing in stocks, the economy would flourish. Property taxes would be replenished due to the decline in foreclosures. State budgets would be greatly improved from the increased sales tax revenue. The auto industry would be saved, and everyone would be happy knowing that they now have free health insurance. Will the Congress have the guts to do something about this? Not likely, as long as Republicans still exist. Tony. Well, not just Republicans. I hate Republicans the same way I hate cockroaches and poisonous spiders, but the Democrats are in there too. Peter in Vermont writes, Mike, what's truly appalling is that the bailout disbursements, $700 billion followed by $800 billion, could have simply paid off the mortgage debt of this entire country. Peter in Vermont. And this is from Tony in Maine. Mike, damn, listening to your show can sometimes be such a downer. Thank God for those right-wing wackos who call in to at least give them some comic relief. But I always tune in because I feel that you are the one of the few who will actually tell it as it is, no matter how depressing the news is, and for that I say thanks. As far as tonight's subject goes, well, my opinion is that we really, really need a third party. I say this because I don't see Americans as the type who will take to the streets like they did in Iran. We've lost that inherited yearning to revolt. Maybe it's TV that has rotted our collective minds, or maybe those who still have jobs just don't have the time to think about what is really going on. That's why I think a third political party is needed. I'd like to see something along the lines of a labor party, which will go head-to-head with the corporations, which both you and I know are running this country. The Republican Party stands up for the corporations and the rich of this country. The Democrats like to say they stand up for the middle and lower class, and at times they will throw us a bone. But again, the corporations have bought most of them out as well. So where do we turn? The lesser of two evils, we could make it illegal for corporations to give any kind of money to political officials. But we know that isn't about to happen. Maybe we need to just let the whole thing crumble and collapse. Yeah, it will be hellish for some time, but at least after the embers have stopped smoldering, we can rise again to the country which our founding fathers envisioned. Have yourself a good evening. Tony from Maine. I am not detecting a whole lot of unbridled or even qualified enthusiasm out there. Okay, back to your phone calls as soon as we come back from this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Maybe you want a house or a farm, not do nobody no harm, just take your vacations by the mountains or the sea. Don't sell that old cow for a car, you might want to stay right where you are, take a little advice from me. Cause I read the one ads every day. The voices in the paper always say, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, boy, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, you better go back to your beautiful Texas.
Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Molloy.
Oh, welcome back. It is 25 before the hour. Almost. So it begins at the crack of dawn tomorrow. Molly's birthday, Kathy, on July 22nd, tomorrow, in the Gulf of Kambat, just east of India. Morning fishermen there will experience a sunrise like nothing they've ever seen before. This is from the NASA website. Rising out of the waves in place of the usual sun will be an inky black hole surrounded by pale streamers splayed across the sky. Seabirds will stop squawking, unsure if the day is beginning or not, as a strange shadow pushes back the dawn and stirs up a breeze of unaccustomed chill. This is a solar eclipse that is the will be the longest one in the of the 21st century. How long is it? 6 minutes and 39 seconds. The longest of the 21st century, it says here. Most solar eclipses produce a surreal experience for a few minutes at most. The eclipse that begins tomorrow, however, will last as long as 6 minutes, 39 seconds in some places, not far short of the 7.5-minute theoretical maximum. It won't be surpassed in duration until the eclipse of June 13th, 2132. Then it says the leisurely pace of the eclipse will have a transformative effect on witnesses. Total eclipses have been known to turn ordinary people into lifelong so-called eclipse chasers, willing to spend thousands of dollars and travel tens of thousands of miles to feel the moon's cool shadow and behold the sun's pale atmosphere just one more time. There will be webcasts of this too, live webcasts that you can watch. And what was this thing I heard tonight? On one of the network newscasts, something slammed into the planet Jupiter and left a hole in its atmosphere. They had a picture, left a hole in the atmosphere as big as the Earth. Good God! I mean, this is not, what was it, Comet Kohoutek, the one that dribbled into Jupiter that, was it Kohoutek? No, which one was that? No, that was the... No, not Kohoutek. It was maybe somebody in our research department out there in the audience. It was two names, the two people who discovered it. It was Hale-Bopp, was that it? Hale-Bopp comet? I think it was, or meteor, whatever the hell it was. Hale-Bopp. No, am I getting all confused? The one that slammed into Jupiter a couple of years ago that was just spectacular. Do you remember that? Where's Reg? Reg, write in and let me know what that was, the name of it. But the hole in Jupiter's atmosphere, good Lord, I saw a picture of that on the news tonight, and it just like, even with the giant planet, the hole was certainly big. That's scary. Supposing Jupiter wouldn't have been there, and there would have been a clear path here. Let's go back to your phone calls. All right. Doug is calling from Fort Townsend, Washington. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Mike. An honor and a privilege, and like most of your callers, actually, you've probably forgotten why I called at this point, but I just want to say that I don't know if this is a word that gets tossed around much about you, but one of the things I really and truly do appreciate you is your subtlety. I mean, your subtlety is unbelievable, and it makes me laugh every night. I have to listen on the internet these days, but I will subscribe to one of the services. But, you know, I think the reason the stock market goes up, even though I thought we lived in a post-consumer society, is the fact that consumers these days, when they're asked whether they'll be jobless, homeless, starving, moving in with granny in 3 to 6 months, or they'll be getting a job, I guess they still have that optimism that they'll be getting a job. And yeah. So they say that. And so that means consumer confidence is up, which means the stock market then can go up. But, you know, I think getting back to one of your points earlier, I think we do live in a post-military industrial complex. It's now the military industrial prison surveillance
yeah.
society. And, you know, look, we're spending more on incarceration than education has gotten us. But up here, you know, in the Olympic Peninsula of Washington, one of the last refuges, believe it or not, we've got a pretty active border patrol. They set up checkpoints. They board buses. They arrest the one or two Hispanics they can find who maybe left their wallet at home that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the so-called Democrats are up in arms about it, as, you know, I include myself in that because there's really nowhere else for me to go right now. But I guess without the F-22s to protect us, I guess we need the border patrol to surveil our society. But we have... I just want to mention a product that's out there, and I work for a company that represents it, so I hope no one from that company is listening. This is how nefarious things have gotten. When you walk into a business, it's designed for schools now, if you're visiting or you're a vendor or something. You scan your driver's license. It prints out a visitor's pass for you while it runs your name against all sex offender databases, which means if I had been arrested when I mooned that tourist bus when I was 18, I'd be on a sex offender database.
Right.
And I wouldn't be able to go in. And that's how bad things have gotten. I love you, Mike. Thank you for having the embolism every night that I don't have to have.
Well, no, wait, Doug. You start out by saying you love the subtlety on this. I'm about as subtle as a jackhammer.
No, but yeah, you're most of the time. But I catch those little asides, and I catch the verbal twinkle in your eye, and it makes me laugh out loud because I know where you are.
Okay, well that's.
Yeah, I know exactly where you are. There's not a lot of room for people like us left, but. Thank God that, you know, people, there is someone like you out there who can tie us together and let us know we're not alone. We know we're not completely alone because there are a few of us in each little cluster, but to know that.
Yeah, I've discovered that. I've met a lot of people, recently who make me feel like, woo, it's not just me.
It's not just you, and you're appreciated. But you know, the thing is, they keep us so busy just trying to put food on our table and a roof over our head. How are we going to revolt? We don't have the time. You know, what happened to the leisure the computers were going to give us? Forget about it. We work nine more weeks total than we did back when computers were coming out.
It's crazy. I wonder how long it'll take before this huge disparity in income, which is one of the key factors in revolution, is that. It's one of the key factors, but I just wonder. Hey, listen, Doug, I got to go. Thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. Nice compliment. I never consider myself subtle, but Shoemaker Levy comment. Thanks, everybody, answered my plea for help. It was the Shoemaker Levy comet that slammed into Jupiter. This is interesting. This is from Think In? No, who's this from? I don't even know. How come they didn't see the Jupiter comet coming if it was as large as Earth and actually struck Jupiter? I don't believe something hit Jupiter because they're seeming to speculate after the fact of seeing a spot there. Couldn't it be one of Jupiter's weird storms or something from on Jupiter instead of from outside the planet? If it came from outside Jupiter, then why didn't we see this thing before it hit Jupiter? If it's that large, and what does that mean about something hitting us without any warning? Do we need more people out with telescopes? Actually, it was an amateur in Australia who saw this impact site and notified, I guess, Australian authorities, who shared it then with astronomers around the globe. I don't know the rotation timetable for Jupiter. It does rotate, right? It does. It does have revolution. Maybe the reason no one saw it coming from here on Earth is because A, we weren't watching, or B, it slammed into the planet when the planet was turned, more or less, away from us. You know, I don't know. But if the scientists, and there's one group of scientists that I trust with absolutely no hesitation, and that's astrophysicists or astronomers. I'm not saying they have the answers. They will tell you they don't. But their curiosity factor and their willingness to state categorically that something is true until new evidence surfaces, and then they say, okay, let's modify. You got to respect that. I mean, I do anyway. I certainly respect that. Iconoclastic statements to me are just, they irritate the hell out of me. You know, nothing is permanent. Nothing is rigid. Nothing, except maybe gravity. And the fact that if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, your brain will come out your ear. Shoemaker Levy. We'll be right back. Back to your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy.
Tell me what you say. If you could talk to me, what news would you bring? Our voices in the sky. Voices in the sky.
Because liberal is a good word, it's More Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Email here from Ron, Boston, PA. Mike, well, I've been homeless twice in my life, oddly enough, so I kind of know what to bring with me when the bottom drops out. But I'm not alone this time. I've got a six-year-old. The implications of this makes me think of Cormac McCarthy's book, The Road. I tell you, I sat down and read that thing in one day, ended up weeping at 4 a.m. over the damn thing, so much so that I woke my wife and she asked me if I'd lost my mind. It was the saddest thing I've ever read. It hits pretty close to the bone. It describes what a father had to do to protect his son in a world laid waste by short-sighted idiots. Sound familiar? And as the last bit of human dignity that could be salvaged from it all was the love this man felt for his son, his struggle to ensure he survives cracked me open like a nut. I swear if anything happens to my little son, I'm done. And all the national security apparatus can go screw itself, because what are they for if they can't protect the lives of our children? What's the point? Anyway, I hope to God that whatever happens, we don't resort to violence, for that may be just the excuse the neocons have been waiting for to pull the plug on the rest of the Bill rights. Ron, Lawson, PA. Yeah. Mike is calling from Mount Pocono, PA, or Spike, I should say. Spike in Mount Pocono, PA. Hey, Spike.
Hey, Gonza greetings. Long time no speak.
Yeah, for sure.
Last time I called in was back after the tsunami hit. To give you an idea.
Oh, my God. That long ago, huh?
Yeah. But, certainly you're not going to get any unbridled enthusiasm out of me towards this economy. I've been essentially jobless since September.
What happened?
I worked for a large corporate coffee company who shall remain unnamed, who claims they're good to their employees and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up leaving there and going to a not-for-profit group for water and legislation about the water being clean.
Uh-huh.
And my second day working for them trying to get donations was September 18th, when the world economy basically took a you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day they said to me, listen, since you're not bringing in much in donations, we got to let you go.
Right.
So from there I became unemployed. Lots of unemployment. The big coffee company spent a lot of money, even hired a lawyer to fight me on a loophole over unemployment. They ended up using that loophole to win at the time.
They didn't want to honor your claim for unemployment insurance?
Right. They spent money to specifically fight me so that I couldn't get unemployment.
Was there a valid reason, or were they just being bastards?
They're definitely being bastard. The way it was ruled was that because even though I started my next job when I thought I would start my next job, when I gave the 2-week notice at the other place, since I wasn't officially hired yet at my next job, that then disqualified me for unemployment.
A
loophole totally in there, specifically for the bosses, the corporations against the workers.
Yeah.
Because of that, I've become, maybe you could say, radicalized. I joined the IWW, and also I'm a low-income member with the Democratic Socialists of America. I've basically had it with the system at this point. It's so rigged against us. I mean, my father in February passed away from liver cancer. This is a guy who worked his you-know-what off for decades in union construction, and basically he was almost never sick, and I watched the for-profit bureaucrats and the healthcare industry fight him and try to keep him from seeing the going into the hospital when his skin was yellow from the jaundice. And I mean, the two-party system is so against all of us. I mean, the only Democrat I really have any faith in anymore is Dennis Kucinich, and that's it. I mean, John Conyers, I don't even have faith in him at this point.
I hear that.
I mean, it really comes down to, the only people who are really telling it like it is are kind of marginalized, like Kucinich, Nader. They always love to marginalize Nader. Uh-huh. He's the only one who's really had the pair to sometimes take on the corporate powers and really tell it like it is. I know a lot of people don't like him, but sometimes when you're bearer of the bad news, so be it. Things are not going to get better for us. And right now, the only reason the economy is, quote, up is artificial highs from the bailout money. I mean, they haven't changed how any of these companies are run. They're still run just as terrible as they were prior. And come the end of September, when, all that money starts running out, a lot of companies are going to start tanking again, I believe, sadly. It's just not going to get better. I'm tempted to buy a tent because that might be my next home. I mean, that's how it's getting at this point. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And we can't get help from the government because the uber libertarian movement in both parties has really done everything they can to basically defecate on the poor. What they're doing.
Are you married or have children?
I'm not married. I have a girlfriend. We would like to get married eventually, but that doesn't seem feasible the way the economy's moving. I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, she keeps pushing me to go back to college, but in the same, to me, it's almost silly to go back to college because I'll put myself in debt for a job that won't exist when I'm done. I was going to school for TV, radio, and I mean, obviously there are some jobs out there, but there's a lot of cuts there. I mean, especially since I would prefer not to be in the world of right-wing talk radio. So yeah. Less options more and more these days in progressive radio. You're one of the few shows left. I mean, and thank God for your show. I mean, from the days when I used to deliver pizza and you would give me my sanity at night, late at night, doing deliveries.
I remember talking to you about that.
And to, my days now, I mean, I just feel like I've lost my mind and everyone around me.
No,
I don't know what's going on with this country.
I think those of us who feel like, and I feel it at least once a day, those of us who feel like we've lost our minds are the ones who are probably retaining, just a shred of contact with the real world. Spike, I gotta go. Listen, thanks, man. Don't wait another 2 years before you call in, or however long it's been, okay? We'll talk later. All right, we have a break. We'll be back. One open line if you want to join in the whatever it is we're doing tonight. I'm not sure what it is, but we'll continue your phone calls after the break here at the top of the hour. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. We're talking about the situation that we're facing right now. In terms of just, it seems to be a continually imploding economy. All the money that's gone for the so-called bailout seems to me at this point, after listening to people who know a hell of a lot more than I do, that it's all the money's going the wrong places, or it's not being spent the right way, or it hasn't gone far enough. There is a death match going on in Washington right now between Barack Obama and the Republicans. It's not a death match he asked for. It's a death match that these filthy sons of bitches who are called Republicans have insisted upon. They absolutely do not want a Democratic president to go down in history as having brought affordable health care to everybody, if that's what Obama is doing. My feeling is we have single-payer health care, or the system just continues only under a different, maybe a different, slightly different structure. But I don't know anymore. I used to be a real smartass. I used to think that I knew the answers to about 85% of everything that wasn't, it wasn't technical. Just general political topics and, stuff like that. I just kind of consider myself to be, I guess, a smartass. You know what I'm saying? And that's completely gone now. it's just completely gone. I spend an awful lot of time just focusing on being a father to Molly. Just trying to be an intense, not suffocating, but an intense father to her. Because of the enormous difference in our ages between my youngest and I, and a couple other things. I just want that. That's where it feels like my energy is best focused right now. Of course, that doesn't make me unique. I mean, every parent, I'm sure, feels that way, especially when we get to the point where there's an awful lot of time available in any given day, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? As far as the employment thing is considered, if you're a regular listener to this program, you know what happened to us back in February. Just boom, all of a sudden, unemployed, no company behind us, nothing. We scraped together what we could scrape together and came up with what we're doing now, Molloy Broadcasting LLC. And so far it's worked. But I don't know. It's a struggle sometimes to. I'll tell you what it's a struggle to do, and this is for real. Every once in a while, in all this bleak stuff, I get a little flash of what I used to define as being happy, or reasonably unstressed, or. All of a sudden, all the anxiety that I feel usually 24/7 just kind of lifts, and it's just like, woo, hut-de-doo-de-doo. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta. The humidity is around 45%. The temperature is 85. There's nothing like it. The sky is pure blue. And all of a sudden, I slip into that mode, where happy, happy. And then all of a sudden, bang! It's like, what are you doing being happy? What the hell is wrong with you? You can't feel that moment, momentary lift. You can't do it because, that's the mark of a real jerk. Everything is crashing and burning. The country is falling apart. We have military in 150 countries. We're involved in two wars. The dollar's not worth anything anymore. Everybody's holding on by their fingernails. How dare you, Molloy, not participate in the anxiety that you're so used to carrying around. And then immediately all those relatively relaxed or good feelings just disappear. Boom, 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 gone. And back into, oh, Christ, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what I'm talking about? Do you ever feel that? Oh, God. Ah. And even having a couple of drinks now or smoking a joint, it doesn't help anymore. It doesn't do a thing. I don't smoke reefer anymore anyway, because it's just, it makes my throat sore. And as far as having a couple of Jack Blacks or a bottle of wine, Yeah, okay, you know, you get that little temporary buzz, but then all of a sudden, you know, if you drink, you know what happens after about the fourth one. You slide from, hey, how's everything going, into, oh, God, what are we going to do, right? Let's face it, alcohol is a depressant, central nervous system depressant. Not, I don't mean it makes you depressed, I'm just saying, you know. So what to do, what to do? Many times have tried TM, and I'll sit there and, you know, try to empty my mind. And it works. I empty my mind. And into the empty space rushes demons and spooks and goblins and, you know, about meltdowns and economic collapses and what's going to happen to my kids, what's going to happen to my grandkids. You know what I'm talking about, right? And it's getting tiresome. And I keep waiting for somebody else to show me the way. I keep waiting for somebody to come up with an answer or six or seven. And I know that through my network of friends or whatever, you know, somebody will email me and say, hey, Malloy, look at this, look at this, look at this. Here it is, here it is. Look what this guy wrote. Look what this woman said. You know, do the, blah, 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 blah. There's the answer. There's the answer. I keep waiting for somebody else to come up with the answer. And if anything I've learned over the course of my life, that doesn't work, man. I mean, I guess it works in the big picture. Yeah, you know, I mean, we put a man on the moon 40 years ago. That wasn't because I said, hey, let's put a man on the moon. That's because the President of the United States at the time said, we're going to put a man on the moon before this decade is over. And, excuse me, whatever the motivation was, you know, beat the Ruskies, missiles from the moon, immaterial. Somebody else did it. I couldn't do that. And on and on and on. Do you ever feel that way? You'd be putzing along during a day and you know that things are falling apart. The center is not holding. But for some reason you feel a little lighthearted until all of a sudden your lightheartedness sinks in and you go, wait, I'm not allowed to feel this way anymore. So, what we are doing here tonight is listening. You know, that's what this program was supposed to have been about. I don't know how it got away from that. It got into something else, but that's what we're doing. And we have a break coming pretty quickly, but let's get Mike on. Anyway, if we have to break, we'll put you on hold. Mike is in Jazzaway, Tennessee. Jazzaway, Tennessee?
Jazzaway.
How do you spell it?
G-A-S-S-A-W-A-Y, about 60 miles east, southeast of Nashville.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Mike?
Can't complain.
Oh, good.
But I love your show, and I love the way you get upset and yell and hoot and holler and rant and rave. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah?
It's good to hear someone who really expresses their feelings. And it's depressing sometimes, but maybe we need to be depressed enough to try and do something about it. But what do? I'm an old hippie who marched during Vietnam, and any demonstration I was there to be in it, but
yeah.
Who demonstrates anymore? People just gotten so apathetic.
I know. Hey, listen, hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me put you on hold, Mike. We have to take a break here coming up. Damn, are we having that phone problem again? Mike's is the first call tonight that we started to get that reverb thing. All right, stick around. We'll come back and talk with Mike and you if you're on hold. If you're not, keep dialing, and we'll talk to you before the night is over. I'm Mike Malloy. 21 past the hour. What happened? The music wouldn't start? Let's see if you can get it started. You got any music? Yeah, play some music for me. Oh, you can't play any? Okay. Welcome back. 21 past the hour. Ray writes in, Mike, no, wait a minute. This is, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just drop this into the discussion. I mentioned earlier that some freak was at a town hall meeting on healthcare and was screaming about where's Barack Obama's birth certificate. I don't know when these morons. I can't imagine a stupider son of a bitch than one of these people who continues this craziness about whether or not Barack Obama is an American-born citizen. You know, the whole universe is collapsing around these people's ears. Most of them are unemployed. Most of them think just praying for the rapture so they can get the hell out of here and float up to heaven with their boobies hanging out or whatever. They're crazed, but they focus on this. We have so many things to deal with that's real, and these people run around flapping their arms in the air about, well, Barack Obama's not a citizen. You know, and it's led by Limbaugh and this nest of rabid snakes called Free Republic. And it's just, man, I don't know. I don't get it. So it happened again today. Jamie writes in, Mike, the birther, I guess this organization of nutcases has a name now. The birther uproar was at Delaware Representative Castle's town hall meeting. Castle, who appears to be among a handful of what used to be referred to as moderate Republicans and is Delaware's sole representative in the House, actually countered the assertions of the birthers by stating, gasp, the truth that Obama is a U.S. citizen born in this country. The crowd would have none of it and spontaneously broke into the Pledge of Allegiance. Not sure what that was all about. While in general I cannot stand Republicans and conservatives and what they represent in words and actions, I felt Representative Castle did the right thing and called his office to say, I called his office to say that I appreciate the congressman's efforts to try to set the record straight. The staff member, a young-sounding guy who probably was a college intern, seemed grateful to have heard my words. I know very little about Delaware politics, but wonder if Castle's days are numbered given this recent event. Ah, the truth and its consequences. Of course, as we know, with rare exception, conservatives and Republicans never met a fact they liked. Jamie in Maryland. They broke into the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh, my God. Did they all stand around afterwards and go, bah, bah, boo, moo, bah? The Pledge of Allegiance? And then Ray writes, Mike, what was even worse is how half the crowd cheered after she made her charges. Just as scary was last year in the Republican primaries when those crowds cheered over torture. When McCain spoke out against it, they were dead silent. That was scary, too. What planet are we on? Ray in Wisconsin. Yeah, I saw that video and of the woman holding aloft what she claimed as her birth certificate. She was probably hatched someplace, but she claimed as her birth certificate with a little, one of those little American flags, you know, waving it at this. I didn't realize her representative was Republican. And he's up there on the behind the podium, up on the stage of the dais, you know, kind of trying to conduct this town hall meeting on health care. And this crazy psychopath breaks into the, you know, he's not a citizen thing. And the Republican representative just kind of stared at her like, Jesus Christ, please go back under your rock. I'm trying to do something here. I don't know what he was trying to do, but it damn sure wasn't challenging whether or not Barack Obama is really an American or an Indonesian or a Martian or an African or a Australian or a, somebody from the moon or a thumbnail or a thimble or a shoehorn. my God. He's not the president. And this lieutenant colonel, another one of these sleazy little rats down here in Georgia, I guess, who said he wasn't going to deploy to a combat zone because Barack Obama had no authority because Barack Obama's not American. I think these people ought to be rounded up, heavily sedated, driven in a huge vehicle to some nice green island someplace and just turned loose. And, you know, maybe once a week, fly overhead and drop down 10 tons of red meat and condensed milk and, you know, just leave them to their devices. Your phone calls when we come back. That's right. Mike was in Jazzaway, Tennessee, still holding on. I'll get you, Mike. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Rage Against the Flying Monkey Right with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, we were talking before I diverted myself with Mike in Jazzaway, Tennessee. All right, sorry, Mike.
Yeah, that's Jazzaway with a G.
Yeah, Jazzaway.
Huh?
Yeah, got it.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I grew up in the 50s, and I have an old Zenith 1958. Zenith portable radio. There's a little sticker on the back that says, Made in America by highly skilled, well-paid American craftsmen. That just says it all, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The way things were back then. I don't know. How do we get people to stop being so apathetic and get out there and demonstrate? If enough people get out there and demonstrate, they will do something.
Yeah, but what they might do might be something that we wouldn't be real happy with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, martial law.
Or worse.
Mm.
You think?
I don't know. It's, you know, the Republicans and et cetera, they'll stop at nothing to keep what they have.
That's true.
But I'm just making preparations for wondering if everything falls apart to just survive.
What are you doing? Oh, and let me also add, you certainly don't have a Tennessee accent. You sound like you're from up east somewhere.
Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, Parker County, Harvard Yard.
What in the world are you doing in Jazzaway, Tennessee?
I went to a party years ago at a commune, and I fell in love with the place and moved here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We're off the grid. And
what happened to the commune?
Well, it's still there. They're off the grid and grow their own food and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to grow my own food here. Hey, where else can you buy a house? $18,000, no down, no interest, no finance. $300 a a month for 5 years on an acre and a half of land.
Certainly not around Boston.
No. Yeah. It's my family's still up there. I go and visit a couple times a year. And I miss it somewhat, but it's nice being out here in the country.
So how are you preparing for whatever it is you're preparing for?
Well, I'm going to see if I can get some solar power going here. And
yeah.
Working in my I have a spring that comes out of a cave, so I have plenty of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting a garden so I can feed myself. And a lot of people around here are. It's going to come down to food, shelter, water, and clothing, basically. If we have those all four, I guess we can survive. I don't know.
Well, at least you have a plan, right?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, let me move on. But stay in touch. You haven't called in before, have you?
No.
Okay. Well, you found a program now, so call in once in a while and let us know what's going on. Because when all hell breaks loose, you know, I may be looking for a place to go. and hell, you know, if you've got fresh water and a good garden and a place to hide.
Want to be my roommate?
Well, if I bring my wife and five-year-old, what do you think?
Sure, why not? If they can help her on help everything go.
Yeah, we can make her, you know, pick the tomatoes and the carrots, right? Hey, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you checking in. I better hang up because Kathy's giving me that look that says you're getting real close to the limit, Malloy. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, man. Just kidding. David is in Harrisburg, PA. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. Hey, happy birthday to Molly, okay?
Oh, thanks. I'll pass it on to her. Yeah, she's 5 years old. Unbelievable.
That's wonderful. They're a joy at that age.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to call in and just, you know, kind of make an observation that we're hearing numbers where they say 75% of the people want a public option or they want a single-payer health care. And that's because the other 25% already have, you know, an option that we're paying for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're paying for their stock that makes money in the health care companies, well, then we're paying for their health care. If they work for the health care companies, well, then we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
If they work for the government, then we're paying for it. You know, when they don't want a public option, they should give up their lifelong health care that they get after they're vested. Also, just the savings that we could save on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wouldn't have to have a VA hospital anymore. I mean, we could have them for specialization, you know, for people who'd had arms and legs blown off in an unnecessary war. But, you know, in some vile, horrible thing we shouldn't be involved in.
Right.
But, you know, the rest of it, where they could actually go out and get real health care, get real mental services that they need outside of the military, because the military doesn't want to admit that, you know, anybody would be traumatized by war.
Yeah.
and, you know, killing children or something might not hurt them or damage their psyche. But we could just save a tremendous amount. Your point earlier about, you know, the money that would go back into the economy that we weren't spending on health care, it's phenomenal. But it goes across the board. I mean, it would be, I'm lucky my union keeps my, you know, we have to fight for everything we get from my company. But
mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me that companies like that are not behind it. And for every one of the representatives, for everyone who stands in the way of this,
mm-hmm.
they want class warfare, we'll give them class warfare. For every one of them that doesn't do it, not only will we not work for them or give them a dollar, but all the people who support them, all those companies that give them money,
mm-hmm.
we won't shop there. We won't go there. We won't do it. Because, you know, the big companies in the United States, the largest retailer in the United States in the world,
right?
That's not filled with, you know, rich Republicans. That's filled with poor Democrats who can't find another way out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if they give the money to people because they don't want it, or they don't want card check, because they don't want this, we should drive them into the ground. Go to your local market. Don't go to the Mega Mart.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the farmer's market and buy from the guy up the street. Give him the money.
Sure. Sure.
Keep them out of it. We have to cut them out of it because they're in it for the money. They want two classes in this country.
Well, I think what they're looking for is somebody used the term the other day, sent me an email, neo-feudalism, where you have a very small ruling class, literally a ruling class, and then you have everybody else. And somewhere tucked in there, of course, will be these crazy religious bastards who also get their cut. But anyway, I hear what you're saying. David, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Hope you call again, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care. What is interesting to me, even the two conservative dunderheads that called in at the beginning of the program had nothing to say but garbage, wouldn't address the issue that I thought I carefully set out for the program tonight. And like I said, I normally don't do that. That's not the way we do this particular program. But aside from those two people, every phone call tonight, if you've noticed, is people are very concerned, you know, very concerned, not about the situation we're in. Obviously, everyone's concerned about that, except the wealthy, but very concerned about what's going to happen. I mean, we've been through so-called economic downturns before. That's what the capitalists do to us. They plan it that way. There's no invisible hand that runs the market. That's hog snot. The market is tightly controlled by the upper 0.1% who doesn't give a tinker's damn whether you or I or our sons or daughters live or die. They're not the least bit interested. It is not random, these events that occur and these economic downturns, but there is a very good chance, I would imagine, that they may have pushed the envelope a little bit far this time. They being that class of people, that 0.1% who will suck the blood out of every one of us gleefully and willingly. They may have gone too far this time, so that those phony, fakey business cycles, so-called, that we're all so used to enduring, those of us in the working class or the middle class, that business cycle is not going to occur again. It's not going to come back. So, I don't know. Very, very, very weird. And regardless of what Hunter Thompson said, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro... In like what, right? Is gone, and every time you look around, well, it all just seems to change. But hanging on is easy when you've got a friend to call, when nothing's making sense at all. You're not the only. Before the hour, thanks to our crew, and that consists of Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Bruce Enberg, and Kathy Bay, and moi. Steve is calling from Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Greetings, Mike.
Hi.
The Austin capital of the big-haired governors.
Yeah, but y'all sure have them down there, don't you?
Yeah, both parties. Ann Richards was much bigger and better than
that. That's true, but Rick Goodhair is he's really something. I would if I had his hair, I'd throw mine away.
Yeah, he's a city. Going back to earlier in the program with John, and he was talking about driving and...
Oh, yeah, over-the-road trucker, yeah.
Right. Well, I deliver in a rather wide radius around Central Texas, and I simply have to echo what he says. Especially commercial buildings,
mm-hmm.
that's a big one, so we're told. That's coming down the road here is commercial real estate failure.
Yeah, yeah. And, when those start going bankrupt, I don't know what the hell we're going to do. We're going to have wastelands. It's going to look like Detroit all over the country.
Yeah, it happened back in the 80s. It was like the residential real estate problems back in the late 80s. It worked itself into the commercial and. And then they just started building more. I don't understand that part exactly, but they kind of built themselves out of it.
Hmm.
But in some ways, but it's coming back around. Humor. It's tough all over. You know, I've seen my paycheck, you know, drop like 30-40% over the past 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But I've still got a paycheck, and my thoughts are always with those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, and I don't know what we can do on a larger scale to really get out of this, except start manufacturing again. But
well, you know, this is a frustrating part to me. I think you're real close to it. I mentioned earlier tonight about. You know, I'm waiting for a leader, somebody to tell me what to do, that makes sense. And I don't know what that something, that we all should be doing really is. I have no idea. There's always been kind of a spring back, at least in my lifetime, from these so-called business downturns. And like
right.
I said earlier, I think they're all engineered, but, how in the hell is it going to come back? This time, maybe the economy will, but I mean, it sure is beyond my ability to see how that's going to happen. The Democrats and the Republicans have destroyed the manufacturing base in this country with this god-awful WTO and NAFTA and all this garbage. Remember how they told us in Clinton's administration that NAFTA was the greatest thing since, you know, tops on soda bottles and we're all going to have good jobs and cheap goods. Remember all that? Oh my God. The only one that said no.
I felt that real big to my union at the time when I was working for a telecom
company. And what's his name? Ross
Perot.
Perot was the only one who on the national scene who was saying, this is crazy. It's not going to happen that way. They're going to be, what did he say? There's going to be a giant sucking sound as all these jobs go south of the border. And remember, we all mocked him and made fun of him and said, oh, just shut up, sit down.
Yeah. How spooky is that? That he was one of the people that kind of got it right a little bit.
Boy, did he ever.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, you take good care of the family, and when it's looking bad, just totally abandon yourself to that raising and that little girl, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, I reckon so. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you checking in. Really, take care. Eric is in Huntington Beach, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Moving right along.
Yeah, right there towards the end. I tried getting in, sneaking in last night, but real quick, you said on the program just a few minutes ago, a couple callers back, you know, maybe they've gone too far.
Yeah.
And I'd like to agree with you and say that they have, because what they've done now is they've taken military law, Title 10, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, out of the Department of Defense that it was written for and moved it into Homeland Security via the Coast Guard. Type in U.S. Coast Guard, .. Wikipedia, read that page, and it goes into the National Response Center.
Yeah, well, that was back during the Bush years, right?
No, it actually happened in 2003.
Yeah.
The Coast Guard's always been a civil service.
Right.
Like, it's a federal police agency. They're now saying that they're a branch of military in Homeland Security that can carry on civilian law enforcement, not only regulation, but even adjudication, to where they can carry on military trials of American civilians and create law within these military tribunals for civilians.
Man, you know what, Eric? We really are right on the brink, aren't we?
We are. We're there.
We're perched right on the brink. Eric, guess what, pal? We're out of time. I got to leave it there. I'm afraid to type in U.S. Coast Guard in Wikipedia because I might see something that will scare the bejesus out of me. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, don't type in the address in Wikipedia. You'll wind up on the no-fly list or something. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Seriously, now, don't get all depressed. Jesus. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.